fame spread everywhere throughout all the surrounding region of Galilee. And immediately he left the synagogue and entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons. And the whole city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone's looking for you." And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." And he went throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and casting out demons. And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." He went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. Thus far, our reading from God's holy word, and may he bless that word to us. Dear congregation, as I noted, Jesus didn't come to merely be born. Let me add, he didn't come merely to die on the cross for our sins. Seems like we often want to reduce what Jesus came to do. Why did Jesus come? To die on the cross for my sins. Why did Jesus come? Well, to be the incarnate one, born of the Virgin Mary. Yes, yes, all yes, but not only that. He came to wage the good fight of the faith, the fight against Satan's cause, and to usher forth his own. Any Christian living in this world and doesn't feel the pinch of the kingdom conflict isn't paying attention, isn't awake, or is already spiritually dead. This is why we don't feel at home in a world that isn't yet redeemed, delivered from bondage, and wholly remade. We're being remade. The creation groans, longing to be remade, but everything is still warped and broken and skewed and not the way it's supposed to be. Jesus comes to make it the way it's supposed to be. See, we're not supposed to be blind or crippled. We're not supposed to be estranged from God. We're not supposed to have marriages where it's a contest. We're not supposed to nurture children where it's a headache sometimes. It's not supposed to be like that. And people certainly aren't supposed to be filled with demons, possessed, or their bodies ravaged by diseases. And they're not supposed to be ignorant about God and his truth. Jesus comes to undo Satan's work, to undo kingdom of darkness. And that's why we find here that the one born on Christmas Day next is brought to maturity, learns wisdom and knowledge and faith, and then commences his assault on Satan's kingdom. As he assaults that kingdom, he ushers forth his own, and His kingdom is a kingdom of healing. His kingdom is a kingdom of prayer, of preaching, of going out. His kingdom is a kingdom of cleansing, of holiness. So if you're a sermon note taker, those were the three points right there. See, of healing, of of preaching, prayer, going, or prayer, preaching, going, and of cleansing and holiness. Now, look at this healing. Verse 29, it's Sabbath day. He's already been doing some Sabbath healing. Immediately, he leaves the synagogue where he had cast out this demon, and he goes to Simon and Andrew's house. James and John are there as well. Simon's mother-in-law is sick with a fever. They inform him. He tends to her, lifts her up, heals her. The fever leaves her, and she begins to serve him. Very fitting that the one who's King of Kings and Lord of Lords, who can command wind and wave, as the Gospels will show, can also command disease away out of the body, that he's tended to, that he's served. In fact, the word there is the deacon word. It's that word from which we derive deacon, and it's a servant word. You know, you could just as well call elders and deacons overseers or managers and servants. We understand what those words mean. No one knows what the word deacon means, but in the Greek language, they heard that immediately. Servant serves, waits tables, attends to. The Lord of Glory is brought to service here. And we learn then what Christ's kingdom comes first to do. We learn that his priority is never just a ministry of word absent deed, or a deed ministry absent word, but it always goes together. It's important we get that, I think. Because to be a Christian isn't only to be on the receiving end of his service, but it's to become a servant. To be a Christian and to be redeemed, which means to be purchased out of bondage and set free. That's literally what that word means. You bound to sin, no, purchased, set free, liberated, for what? To worship my gods, to go my way, to do my thing? No. In order to serve, to bless. He came to serve. He serves us and saves us so that we can serve. Here you already have sort of a little model of that. Healed and now served. We read, more importantly, that evening, at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons. In other words, when Sabbath was over, that's what it means, that evening at sunset. Now Sabbath is over. Now we can journey and go about and get busy, and we can haul our sick loved ones to Simon's house, to Jesus, because we need help. There's all sorts of brokenness. When Jesus entered the world, it wasn't a saccharine world. It wasn't a spit-polished world. It wasn't a brushed hair, fixed teeth world. It was a crooked teeth, broken life world. It was a world with people who couldn't go get the best dentistry and couldn't get the best physical care. It was a world in which you had a hernia, live with it. You have a demon, deal with it. You have a mental illness and you're screwy in the head, well, put them away somewhere. a hurting world, a desperate world. We look around, and that's why all who were sick and oppressed by demons, the whole city was gathered. Did you see what he did in synagogue? Demons listen to him. Do they listen to you? Do they listen to me? Only in Jesus' name. Demons listen to him. And he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And the demons, of course, they know who Jesus is. He won't let them speak. They know he's the Holy One of God. Isn't it interesting that blinded by demons, sinners don't know who Jesus is? They'll either reduce him to a nice man, a great prophet, a good moral teacher, or they'll call him a lunatic or a legend or some such thing, or they simply ignore him. Demons get it. Who is he? The Holy One of God. They get Christmas Day quite well. They know. But see, knowing isn't the same as believing. Knowing isn't the same as submitting, as surrendering, as loving. Salvation isn't just having information. It's having a changed heart. The demons know, and Jesus performs what you must see, his assault against Satan's kingdom. Yes, don't reduce it to, oh, and he gets me saved at the end of the story. Jesus cares about people where they're living. He sees where sin is. He sees where a curse may be found, and he comes to undo, to bring healing, to make it the way it's supposed to be. He will replace the reign of Satan with his righteous reign. Where there's disease, let there be healing. Where there's brokenness, where there's people under the sway and the domination and the destruction of the devil, let there be liberation. And let all see that kingdom of God is here. Reign of God is here. Rule of God is here. Rule of his Christ is here. That's why we sang from Psalm 110. The Lord and his Christ, they rule. They reign. And they come to restore life. In a way, it's a paradise restored, but understand redemption isn't merely turning the clock back to paradise, but also turning the clock ahead to where we're going. So that as redeemed people, we're given a glimpse of where we're going. If all redemption was is to bring us back to paradise, then we're back to the situation where we can be tempted again and fall again. No, we're going to be ushered forward in the fullness of kingdom, the outcome, the blossoming of kingdom, in which we're unable to sin, in which there can be no disease and curse and brokenness and infidelity and destruction. We look around and there's all kinds of disease. People who are alcoholic. People who have an opioid addiction. People who just live with shame and guilt. It's perpetual. It's shaped their very psyche. They just can't even love themselves. And the devil has them under his boot. People who have all kinds of insecurities and mask it with all sorts of behaviors that aren't always very becoming or wholesome for the family. People who are broken physically, suffering Alzheimer's, didn't see that one coming. Saved for retirement and now he's not there. People who have psychoses. You know, if you can be broken in your heart and broken in your hip, you can be broken in the head too. Some people are. Lord, what do we do? There's no answer. Father! Except one who ushers in healing and strength and help and hope. You see, he comes to commence his assault against Satan's kingdom to bring healing. You say, well, I don't see much demon possession today. Oh, well, do you see a lot of people under the sway of the devil? Okay, they're not possessed by demons. He doesn't need to. They walk in his ways anyway. We don't need the power and the reign of kingdom of Christ to displace kingdom of Antichrist. He comes to do that work. And so we see this conflict of kingdoms. He comes to bring healings. No doubt there's things in your life that need healing. Things in your marriage that need healing. In your parenting that needs healing, changing, reforming. Things in the way you're a husband or not, or a wife or not, or a member of a household as a child that needs transformation. You need to become like this in conformity to the way it's supposed to be, not that which Satan applauds. With a kingdom of healing, this assault on Satan's kingdom also shows us it's a kingdom of prayer, of preaching, and going. Notice Jesus rises early in the morning, while dark, departed, went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. All right, what for? He's God. He's God-man. What does he need to pray for? That's how we think. Everything was easy for Jesus. Because he's God. Any problem, any need, any temptation, all he had to do was plug into his divinity. Whoop, zoop, zip, abracadabra, kazam, bam, cinch for Jesus. Wrong. Wrong, 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 wrong. I could use a technical term and I will. It's called a docetic Christology. Where he just really seems to be a man. Just seems, it just appears like that. But we all know he's really God, and so it's all a cinch for Jesus. Wrong! In fact, that was one of the earliest heresies about Jesus. It's good that we stop thinking that way. He was a man. We just celebrated Christmas. Frailty of a baby, born into poverty, laid in a feed trough. When was the last time one of you were laid in a feed trough? No? You watch these young couples get the baby room together. That's a lot better than what Jesus started out with, right? Oh, we got the feed trough in the back. That'll do. He came not as little meek child who never pooped his pants and never cried in the middle of the night. Wrong! He came under all our frailty of a broken world who got hungry, could well have been colicky. His stomach hurt and he cried. When he got thirsty, he was thirsty. When he walked a long journey, he got tired, asked for a drink, was subject to the sniffles and the flu and all the other frailties of this life. He knew what temptation was, the tug of it. That's different than succumbing to it, but that's not to say, no, I don't get it. I don't get it at all, how that's tempting. If you think that about Jesus, you don't understand Jesus. Why say all this? Because he went and needed to pray. So do you. So do I. If Jesus needed to pray for his kingdom work, we need to pray as his servants. Even Jesus, the miracle worker, the caster out of demons, the Holy One of God, sought isolated places where he could pray, where he could ask for help, where he could worship God on his own, where he could commune with the Father, because that's what prayer is about for all of us. We all need to pray. Prayer is a declaration of dependence upon the Lord. And when we stop praying, we act like we don't need him. Or we act like he can't be bothered, or we can't be bothered, or he won't hear, or he's not up to the task. To be prayerless is to be faithless. We need to pray. Jesus sought prayer because his kingdom come is a kingdom of prayer. It's a kingdom in which we declare our dependence upon God for the reign of God to come. It's a prayer that says, not my will be done, but your will be done. Notice it's also a kingdom with that prayer comes preaching and going. It's quite interesting as they come to look for Jesus. Everyone's looking for him. They found him. Everyone's looking for you. And he says, let us go into the next towns. Let us be moving on, that I may preach there also, for that's why I came. And so we're told they went on throughout all Galilee, preaching in their synagogues, casting out demons. More preaching, more healing, more casting out demons, more assault on Satan's kingdom to bring forth his own. Now this shows you a program why Jesus comes in the world, not to leave things the way they are, but to bring transformation, healing, to bring the healing that comes with the good news of the gospel. And with that good news, there's a requisite, there's a requirement of going. Imagine if the gospel was still stuck in Galilee. Where would you be? Where would I be? Where would the rest of the world be? Lost in darkness without anything. Only with the going can others hear too. But notice, Jesus doesn't come just to be a miracle worker, just to do a deed ministry. Let us go into other towns that I can find other sick people and heal them. No, that I may preach there also. That's why I've come. Wait a minute. I thought Jesus came to die on the cross for our sins. Yes. But what good is that if we don't even know what it means, what it's for? You realize many people died on the cross for their own sins, for their own crimes. That was a common Roman form of execution for non-citizens, for those who would subvert Roman power. Oh, you want to get out of line, do you? Well, let's put this on public display as a warning to the rest of you. Watch this. Wreathing man slowly die, pinned up on wood. You want to get out of line, do you? You want to be next? Many people died on crosses. Jesus died as one of the many who died. But we know he died on the cross for us, for our sins, for our saving, because of the preaching. See, finally, you can have a broken leg mended, blind eyes fixed, deaf ears made to hear. Your life can be depossessed of a demon, and yet are you saved? Here's evidence of reign of God, making it the way it's supposed to be, but our deepest disease is that we know who God is, and that we receive his healing hand, his redemptive hand, his forgiving hand, his cleansing hand. That's why he comes to preach. That word preach there is a herald, town crier word. You know, it's the heary, heary, listen up, big news, folks. It's like that old E.F. Hutton commercial. When E.F. Hutton speaks in a big noisy room, suddenly stops. Remember those commercials? P.F. Hutton, what? I gotta hear this. Well, that's a joke with the financial market, but that's really what this word's about. There's news from God. Stop and listen. That's the preach, proclaim word there. It's how John begins the gospel, or Mark begins the gospel with John the Baptist. He came with that town crier, big announcement, listen up word. I got big news for you. Jesus came to bring the big news of the way of salvation in himself as the fulfillment of promise, as the one who's Messiah, the anointed, chosen, set apart one, the commissioned one to be King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Savior, the one who calls you to himself. Come to me. Because you're diseased and broken and hurting and you're a flunk. Come to me and find life. He's still calling you. Some of you come to church and you ignore him. You pay no attention. I'm going to live the way I want to live. The preacher can talk all he wants. Miller's going to say, my parents can do this. And my wife can say, I'm going to do what I want. Listen up, says Jesus. Man, you're not living. You're dead. Man, you're not living. You're broken. You need healing. We get the good news. Great. Now let's go. Let's go to other towns. Let's bring the word to other places. Let's spread the good news and the delight to those who haven't heard and don't know. That's what Jesus does. And that's what we read here. This is his assault on Satan's kingdom. Preaching in the synagogues, casting out demons. He evangelizes his own covenant nation to bring transformation from where there's death, there can be life. And then we read next about how his kingdom is also a kingdom of cleansing. I think it's important we grasp this incident with the leper as well. A kingdom of cleansing. The reason this is important is, well, it's a story that seems to leap out of nowhere. A leper came to him, imploring him. Is this after they'd gone forth? And apparently. A leper. An untouchable. An unwanted. An excommunicated sort of person. Because when you were a leper, you were unclean. You weren't just didn't just have a skin disease that was ravaging you. You were spiritually cut off from temple, from synagogue, from society. A leper, life was in a mess. A ravaged life. We're all here today with whatever problems we bring to church, but we're here together. And we'll chat and talk and drink coffee and eat cheese and too many cookies or whatever will be out there. Not a leper. Not welcome. Not here. Stay away. How do you make a living that way? How do you go to worship that way? This is a ravaged life. No wonder he's imploring him. Please. Kneeling to him. Please. If you will, you can make me clean. See, clean, not just healed. Clean. Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him. He said to him, I will be clean. Notice something. He touches the untouchable. You see, to touch him was to become unclean himself. But Jesus touches him and heals him. He's not contaminated by him, but Jesus' blessings bestowed, his cleansings bestowed to him. And he, what are we told? And he was made clean. What people most desperately need is not Jesus to fix this bump, soothe over that bruise, you know, plow down that heap and this scrape. And what we all need most is to be made clean. Because he knows our hearts. Say you're a person who has some pretty scandalous sins in your life. The devil's ever going to drag them up and throw them in your face and tell you why you're not welcome and you don't belong. You're unclean. Let's suppose you're a person who doesn't have what the world and the church would reckon as scandalous sins in your life. Instead, the devil seduces you by making you conceited and look down your nose at others and convincing you that you really are quite it and you really are a notch better than the rest. You think that's less bad? Could it be that the other person actually seeks the kingdom with more integrity than you do? If you're like that? Is it better to be an elder brother than a prodigal younger brother? That's better. If the world smells on us elder brother, you think they want to come and join a party that isn't going on? You need, I need, we all need, whether we're the one kind or the other kind or a combination of each, cleansing. We need the healing hand. We need that gospel that corrects us as husbands and forgives us, corrects us as wives and changes us, that takes our marriage that we've used so selfishly, you know, it's for me, and instead offering a coupled relationship and service to church and kingdom and the nurture of the children God's pleased to give us, that takes our resources, and either we've hoarded them or maybe we think we're pretty smart because of them, and rather than serving by them, we need to be changed. We need cleansing. Jesus is the one who is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. There's all sorts of people I'm ashamed to call brother or sister. I'm ashamed to say. I know. Yeah. And he puts his arms around us. He touches the untouchable. And heals. Notice what happens next. That having done this, he sternly charged him, sent him away at once, said, see to it, you say nothing to anyone, go show yourself to the priest, offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them. But he doesn't do that. He goes out and spreads word. Wow, look. Jesus didn't say, don't say, wow, look, but he directed them to him to the temple, to the priesthood, to say, wow, look. And then to receive the appropriate stipulated ceremony so that he could be declared not out of fellowship, excommunicated, but back into the communion of his people. And now the priest could be going, wow, look, who is this one? Who also fulfills word of God, who also does the stipulations as required in Word of God according to the law of Moses. Jesus is showing us that he doesn't want to be known as a mere miracle worker, as someone who can just do for you. Wow, come and see the guy who can do for you. Let's go get some Jesus to do for us. Because that's not conversion. You hear that on TV, this health, wealth, gospel of believe in Jesus, send in your money, and he'll do for you. He'll do what? He'll make you rich. Give me your last 100, he'll give you 10,000. Give me your 10,000, he'll give you 1,000,000. He'll do for you. And what's the point? Well, that you're done for. You've done been did for. He's blessed you. So you can be worldly blessed, but it's not about salvation and repentance and devotion and serving others. And it's just, what's good for me? Jesus can get you there. Wow. Which is exactly what Jesus doesn't want. Rather than spread word about this, go speak, show yourself, which announces the word. Hey, you're the leper who's unclean. Away. No, what? And then receive the cleansing ceremony according to the law. Because we all need to live according to the word. I think you've heard this many times from many Reformed preachers. You're not saved by what you do. You're not saved by what you do after you've been saved. Just get it out of your head once and for all, forever. You're not saved by what you do. You can't do it well enough, good enough, perfect enough, loving enough, faithful enough for it to matter a lick. But by living well and righteously, we do give testimony to what God is doing to us. By living well and lovingly, with a heart of forgiveness and kindness, with a disposition of healing, with an orientation of outreach, where are others broken? How can we help? How can Jesus help? We send a message to the world. And this is according to Great Commission. This is according to Word of God. This is fulfilling righteousness. When the Bible says you're not saved by what you do, it's not saying kaflui hui on what you do. It's saying put no stock, don't think God loves you from that, and you're right with God, but by all means do what is holy, righteous, and good. This is a testimony. He's to go bear testimony to what Jesus had done to him. Otherwise, people simply reduce Jesus to what I can get out of him. And Jesus finds himself no longer able openly to enter a town. He has to go out in desolate places. And now the people are sniffing out, where's this Jesus so he can do for me? And that's why, you know, in the ministry of Jesus, it's cruising along, all kinds of people are following him, and at a certain point, he lays down some words, some truth, and they abandon him. Wow. It's called straw and stubble. Every preacher, that's why it's good. It's bad to lose your preacher, but it's always good to lose a preacher in this sense. Your preacher's not the way, the truth, and the life. He's not the answer. He's not your hope or your help in times of trouble. Only the Lord is. Preachers come and go, but the Lord is steadfast and sure. The church can live at least for a time without a preacher, but we can never live without him. And so we're kingdom people who see a Jesus waging a kingdom assault against Satan's wayward path to heal. There's so much that needs healing. To bring that good news to heal, to save, to bring the church out from itself, to go to a broken world. And then finally, that brings cleansing, that touches the untouchable and welcomes and makes whole brings into fellowship with God. Christmas Day unto Kingdom Assault Day. And we're still part of that kingdom cause, that good fight of the faith. May we follow in his path. Amen. Lord, we ask that you would bless your word to us, strengthen us in your word. You know where we need healing, where we're broken, where we hurt. You know, Lord, where we need to heed a gospel call or heed it anew and afresh. You know where our lives need the work of Christ to cleanse us again and anew. We ask, O Lord, that this assault against Satan's kingdom would happen in our hearts too and in our church. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen. Shall we